good baptism risk assessment. It's one of those things that can easily just go out of your mind. It's something that we do. We've got a set way that we do it, and actually, are we making that process safe for people? Are we making sure that we're following the manufacturer's guidance and how we do that? How are we protecting people's dignity when we do it in front of a bigger church, or thinking through all those things?
Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name's Phil Topham, Executive Director of the FIEC, and I'm joined today by two people who, well, I was going to say they need no introduction, but I am going to introduce them. So Gavin Smith is with us. Gavin, just tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a church manager at Christ Church in Newport, also the founder of the church office, kind of online resource to kind of support the work of ministry behind the scenes. So recently did a seminar at the last FIC conference. Love these guys and love, what everyone's doing. So yeah, that's me.
We'll talk about the church office in a moment, because we've got some really exciting news about the church office that we want to share here. We have shared it previously, but we'll share it here as well. And then Becky Thomas is with us as well. Becky, just introduce yourself for us. Tell us what you do for FIEC.
So I'm Becky. I am currently seconded a day and a half a week to FIEC. So I'm based at Beeston Free Church in Nottingham, where I'm the operations manager. But I'm spending some time working for FIEC, supporting with churches with kind of governance stuff, practical stuff, how we make our churches run well and effectively, so that the gospel message is really clearly proclaimed in our churches.
You're our first church governance advisor, Becky, and just tell us how that's been so far. What's the work been like that you've been getting your teeth into?
So it's really, really varied. It's been really encouraging, actually. Really encouraging to get to know some of the FIEC churches up and down the country, find out a bit about work that's going on. I've been supporting churches with all sorts of different things. So supporting churches with some safeguarding stuff, churches with questions about policy, churches with questions about their governance arrangements, that kind of stuff.
Well, we'll come on to all that in a few minutes, Becky, and ask about how you can specifically help churches in specific areas. Before we do that, Gavin, you and I first met Christmas time 2022, and we started to concoct a plan, didn't we? Which is, could FIEC and the church office form some kind of more formal partnership? And I'm delighted to say, in God's kindness, that's exactly what's happened. So first of all, just remind us what the church office is, and then we'll talk a bit about what we've concocted.
Yeah, this is like a big exclusive, isn't it, for the podcast, mate?
Well, I like exclusives. Yeah, we like to be first.
This is the first time we're talking about it. But I am absolutely grateful to the FIC. Let me start there by saying thank you. Phil and I chatted about just the need for good administration in churches, and the difference that it could be. And there was just an open heart from Phil to say, actually, I see this. And we see this in our churches. We see this a bunch across the UK. How do we manage churches better? Not just to make them more efficient, but actually to make them more effective for the gospel, and with that edge to it. And so the more and more we chatted, and we were saying, let's do this together and let's serve churches together. So the online resource is available, thechurchoffice.co.uk. You can download policy templates. I've worked really closely with Becky. She's absolutely amazing as well. So a real asset to FIC. And on there, we have our own podcast that runs. We love talking about governance, finance, all the stuff that happens behind the scenes. We talk about on the podcast with like practical approaches, things that you can learn from each other, things that we've seen in good practice in churches that we want to just celebrate and enjoy. So the podcast runs. We've also got some videos and training videos on there saying, how do you do forecasting? How do you do budgeting? What does that look like in your churches? Then there's a whole host of resources on there. We want churches to use them. It's free to use. And the fact that we can partner with the FIC means that, more churches are going to take it seriously and think about it. And I think a lot of churches are thinking about this kind of administration and management. And I'm absolutely buzzing from just, hearing more conversations of elders talking about it.
It's fantastic, Gavin. And we've now I'm delighted to say the church office is established as its own charity. So you've become a CIO. And all of that is because we want to help our churches in this area of governance and policies. So what you've done with the church office is provided a whole host of templates from all the kind of matters you might be able to think of in terms of how you can help resource churches in this area of governance. And they're all available free of charge. And now what we're saying is those policies are gradually being shaped, put on the FIEC website as well, with a kind of FIEC and church office badge on them. So this is a partnership where we want to be serving churches in this area of administration and governance, recognizing that it's a gap. And it's interesting because one of the things that has been said to us is, it's great to have ministry resources from the FIEC. It's great to have the conferences and all those things that we do. But actually, the big gap in a lot of churches is in this area of governance and policies. And that's where support is really going to help our churches. And that's what I hope this partnership can provide, Gavin.
I think it is, yeah. And it's not just downloading a policy. I think what you guys have got is the fact that we need to look at how these policies are effective for FIC churches. How do people take a template policy and make it work in their context? And I know Becky's already been working with churches to do that. And that's so exciting, mate. This is going to make a massive difference to churches, massive difference to the gospel. And that's why we're so passionate about it. This is important stuff.
So Becky, let's ask you then that question. How do you take one of the policies from the church office? It's a template. It's going to need some work. What should a church be thinking about when it takes one of those templates and begins to shape it for its own context?
I think for me, one of the things that I say quite regularly to churches is that our policies need to do what we say, and we need to say what we do. So it's really important that we don't just take a policy template, shove our church name in the relevant square brackets, shove it in a filing cabinet somewhere and call it good. It's really, really important that we think about, how do we operate as a church? Like, how do we already operate? Most of these things we're already doing, so how do we do them? And then when we look at that alongside a policy template, we then look at, well, what does the policy suggest we might do? And then think about, well, if what the policy says and what we do don't match, then what needs to change? Is our practice absolutely fine and we need to change our policy to reflect that? Or actually, are there some things that we could change or improve about our practice, so we change our practice rather than the policy? Policies need to be practical, living documents that actually support what we do. We don't have policies for the sake of having policies. We have policies because they support the gospel work that we're so passionate about doing well.
So a church leader listening to this might be saying, Becky, oh, come on, this is just distracting from the work and ministry of the gospel. This isn't where I want to put my energies. I understand what you're saying. You know, I get it. I understand Romans 13. I want to do right by the governing authorities. But actually, this is just a distraction. How do we help churches to get over that hump? And how can, you know, the church office and you help churches to get over that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, and I think if leaders see policies as a straitjacket, then we've got the wrong perspective. And as Becky's talking about there, these are in place to explain how we work together and why we work together in this way. And I love the fact that policies, you know, are exciting, because we actually get to communicate how we want to do things, how we want to work together, how we want there to be the right processes, and all of those things should flourish, you know, make things flourish rather than be a straitjacket. That'd be my thoughts.
Becky?
But I think that's why having resources like the church office, like the policies that we're able to put out there as templates, is really, really important, because these things do take some time. But we don't need to be reinventing the wheel. We don't all in our churches up and down the country all need to be writing our own policies from scratch. We can put resources out there that support churches to do this because it's important, but don't take hours and hours and hours of time unnecessarily. It's kind of what the policy support is about. It's about saying to churches, this is important, but it mustn't be something that becomes so big that it becomes a thing in and of itself and distracts us from our gospel ministry.
So Becky, a church rings you, wants you to help them to shape a policy for their context. Just walk us through how you might help them so that people can know, you know, what would happen if they picked up the phone to you, for example, in the office here.
So I think the first thing I always try and do is find out a little bit about a church. What are they like? How big are they? How small are they? How do they operate at the moment? What's really important to that church? Because I think that's really important, that these policies are set in a context of the church. We're all different, aren't we? One of the amazing things about FYEC is we are all independent churches, and that means we're all set up slightly differently. So finding out a little bit about the church, and then really working through section by section. So what do you already have in place? How do you operate at the moment? How can we think about how that fits within a policy? So who've you got involved already? If we were thinking about something like health and safety and perhaps the different checks that need to be done on a church building, well, who do you already have in place? What are people already doing? So thinking through how you're already structured, filling in some of that into the policy template, and then thinking about where are some of the gaps, and thinking about then how can we use the people that we've got in our churches. It's a really good way of sharing the workload in our churches. There are lots and lots of gifted people within our churches, people who've perhaps got a little bit of time, who'd love to be serving. And it's a really great way to think about how can we release more people in our churches to be serving in our churches.
Gavin, let me ask you, how do or what part should a pastor or senior leader in a church play in the policies? Are they just there to essentially sign them off and completely delegate that? How involved should a pastor be?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think in our context, you know, we've got our elders are trustees. So we definitely need trustees engaged in this, you know, level of work and policy work. And particularly around those essential policies of what we need to be legal. So, you know,
what
we need
are they?
To make sure.
Gavin, just tell us what they are, just to be clear. What do we need to be legal?
Yeah, so we need to make sure we've got our safeguarding stuff in place. We want to make sure that we're caring for people right with the right health and safety policies. We're going to have some good financial controls. You know, we're going to have some conflict of interest. We're going to have all these things that trustees need and trustee boards need to make sure that we are legal. And then there's a whole bunch of employment ones, that policies that we need. And these are non-negotiables. You know, we need to have these in place. Again, there are great places where you can get help from, you know, Edward Connor, other places where you can get templates for these specific areas. And I would encourage churches to buy into those and to use those. And you won't find some of those more legal ones on the church office because they do need that legal backing. But what you are going to find on the church office is things like a loan policy. So how do we care for our pastor who's in the building, maybe by himself, meeting people in the community, possibly, or meeting people in the church? How do they do that safely? And we get the opportunity in that policy to explain how we're going to make that work, how we're going to care for them, how we're going to protect them, but then also how we're going to care and protect the person that they're meeting. So we begin to find that actually the more policies that we talk about that are outside of those kind of legal frameworks that we need, we've got people standing behind those policies. And that's what I like, seeing actually how do we want to work with people? These policies that we get to put together, explain how they're going to do that. And I think that's great.
And that's been the first set of policies that we've worked on together with the church office and FYEC. So we've now got a whole suite of policies on the FYEC website, which are in that kind of essentials bracket.
Yeah.
So if any church is listening who is really keen to grab hold of what those essential policies are and how we can help you shape them, just go to fyec.org.uk and search policies and templates. There's a whole section of the website now that's dedicated to that. And that will grow as our partnership with the church office grows. Which is fantastic.
So we need our, going back to your question, we need our elders and our trustees to be reading these, to be making sure that we've got the resources for people to implement them. You know, we don't just want to do an annual review, but we want to take the time to actually ask people to reread through them, to have a look at some of the practical things. Are they actually working? As Becky's saying, we're saying we're doing these things. Are they correct? Would we change this? If we've got a key person that changes in our organization, then we might need to review policy in that. If we've got a senior leader that moves on and changes, a new leader coming in is going to have a very different approach potentially. And so, again, we should review our policies and say, does this fit the way that we want to work in our practice and how we do that? And those are good things that I think elders and trustees should be having conversations about. Key milestones and annual reviews are so, so important.
Becky, what do you think churches are not thinking about? So what would be common in a conversation for you to pick up that, you know, this hasn't really been thought about, but it probably should be? Not to be critical, just to say what might be missing?
I think one of the things that would probably be my first place to start with this is, do you know your governing document? Do you know what your governing document, so that you might call that your constitution, you might call that your trust deed, you might call it your articles of association, lots of different names for that. But that fundamental governing document, do you know what it says? That usually sets out how trustees are appointed. It sets out how the church makes decisions. I'd really encourage churches to make sure that they know that document, to know what it says, what it says about how they should be operating. So I think that would probably be my first one. And then I think the next thing, we've already started to talk about this a bit. Do we know what the legal requirements are? Those policies that all of us should have. So our risk management policies, our financial management policies, data protection, safeguarding, if we've got employees, employment documents. Do we have those key documents in place? I think sometimes we can get a bit sidetracked, and the risk is that we go slightly policy crazy. But have we made sure that we've got those key essentials in place?
What happens if a constitution is not fit for purpose? What should a church do at that point? So they dust out the constitution. It dates back decades and decades, and you read it and you think, oh, this is not how we operate at all. Do you just put it back on the shelf and hope that we never have to refer to it? What advice would you? I know it raises a smile, but I think that's, you know, probably more common than we would think.
I think it raises a smile because I see that. That happening. and I totally understand the temptation to do that. And I mean, sometimes I think
don't panic is the first thing. Don't panic. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, so don't panic. We can deal with this. Yeah.
And absolutely. Our governing documents, sometimes you know, they date back more than decades, and they may not even be in language that we really understand or would use anymore. But yes, as you say, don't panic. There is help out there. It's really important to get it right. So it is important to address it and not just shove it back on the shelf. I think it's a really great opportunity, though, as well, for churches, perhaps a big and daunting one, and one that will almost certainly need some expert legal advice to make sure that we get it right. But it is a good opportunity to think about how we operate as a church. What are the fundamental beliefs that shape the way we want to operate? So it will require some legal advice to make changes to that. But it is perfectly possible, and there's lots of help and support out there. So don't be too frightened.
Gavin?
Yeah, it's good. I think it's a great answer. I mean, one of the most downloaded things from the church office website, and we're talking about kind of policies that people, you know, don't have or forget or haven't in place, it's just things around baptism. So a good baptism risk assessment is one of those things that can easily just go out of your mind. It's something that we do. We've got a set way that we do that. And actually, are we making that process safe for people? Are we making sure that we're following the manufacturer's guidance and how we do that? How are we protecting people's dignity when we do it in front of a bigger church, or, you know, how, thinking through all those things? Where do people get changed in a safe place after a baptism? You know, that people don't think about these things, and it's just like, oh, they'll just pop to the toilets. But how do we actually make that a really, really good experience for people? And I think setting out stuff like that in a policy and a procedure is great. And then I've had crazy requests like, you know, where's your desk tidy policy for your staff? You know, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know. I don't have one of those. And so we can take policy to the extreme as well. And I think those examples just back up where elders can be sometimes like, we don't want to engage in the subject because it's just another policy that someone's come up with. But we've got to have that heart, that gospel heart that says, actually, this is serving people. And just putting something down on paper and thinking through the steps, thinking the way that we can do this well, actually causes ministry to flourish. And that's how we see policy. It flourishes what we're doing and gives us that edge, gospel edge.
Becky, can I just push on something you mentioned before? Because you only in passing, but you said something along the lines of, we don't want to overdo it. But how do we strike the right balance? How do we make sure that we've got the things in place that we need to have in place as churches, but that we don't just end up essentially making every elders meeting, deacons meeting, just about creating new policies to provide for every eventuality? There's got to be a right balance, surely.
There is. And I mean, in some ways, it's quite a difficult question to answer, because what that balance looks like will look different in every single church. Some of our churches are tiny little churches. Some of our churches are massive churches. A lot of our churches are somewhere in the middle of that. And what policies you need is really, really dependent on you as a church. So if you're a little tiny church, then your needs will be very, very different. So I think that's an important starting place. The policies you have need to reflect your church and what you're doing. So that's probably my starting place. I would point you again to the essentials. Those are the things that all our churches need. And beyond that, it's very much, what are you doing as a church? What ministries are you involved in? What's the scale of things you're operating with? So if you have employees, it's really important that we love and we care for them well, and we have the appropriate policies in place. But that won't be where all our churches are. Not all our churches have paid employees. Similarly, not all our churches have buildings. So what our policies look like around things like health and safety, we all need our health and safety policies, but what they look like will look very different depending on whether you have your own building that you're responsible for. So I think I'd say start with the essentials and then start to look at some of the others and think, are these relevant for us and our ministry? Something like a social media policy. Been quite a lot of new guidance on that recently. But if social media is not something that your church is currently engaging with, then don't make that policy your priority. Just because there's a lot of talk about it doesn't mean that it's the top of the list for your church right now.
So I think what I'm hearing from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we should begin with the constitution, then we just start to build up from there, depending on the activities of the church. So just building on that, Becky, what can you help a church to particularly finish off, if you like, or how can you guide a church that's thinking about a specific policy? You can help, I'm sure, at ground level with the constitution, but then you're available to help churches as they kind of climb that ladder and think about those other policies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So helping churches think through, have we got good, relevant, appropriate, essential policies? And then starting to talk through, okay, so what other ministry are you involved in? What are the things that make up your church and your church life? Helping churches to think about priorities. You're absolutely right. We don't want every single one of our leaders' meetings to be taken up with endless writing of new policies or indeed reviewing policies. I'm a big fan of a policy review schedule so that we can set out what policies we have so we actually know what we have and think about what's an appropriate regular interval for looking at these policies so that we're not kind of all over the place looking at them too often or never looking at them at all. Some of the policies, some of the essentials, for example, something like safeguarding that's a legal requirement needs to be looked at annually. But some of our other policies actually far less changes, so we perhaps don't need to review them in detail annually, but we can set a sensible and regular cycle. We can make sure that we don't just have one really, really tedious leaders meeting a year where we do every single policy that we've ever, ever had, because I think that might finish most of us off, even those of us who are keen and enthusiastic policy writers and implementers. Thinking about how do we spread that out in a way that's helpful?
I mentioned Romans 13 earlier as a kind of biblical principle. Gavin, what other biblical principles are there that can help our churches to think through why this is so important to get right? And is more, it's not bureaucracy, it's importance. What would you point folk to?
Yeah, I'm off the top of my head. I think we've got Christ as a great example, isn't he, of how he loves people, how he welcomes people. And we want to reflect Christ in the way that we do things, the way that we interact with people. And so, yeah, our policies help us in writing down those things that we need. I think we're talking, you know, good administration and the gift of administration and you know, identifying somebody in our church with that gift can strike the right balance between, you know, making sure, you know, the kind of the restraint that we need and the clarity that we need on policy, but also the way that we work together that helps us to flourish in our ministry. So that's really important. I think one of the things that strikes me as well is that just our policy helps us to sort out expectations of how people should receive from us. You know, so our leaders particularly, you know, we want them to be, you know, above reproach. We want them to be able to interact with people in a way that's gospel-like. And so codes of conduct and stuff like that, we haven't touched on that yet, but those things are really helpful. That when people encounter us, they experience a humility from us. So they, you know, is there a coming alongside rather than an overbearing? And we see all those things in Scripture. And just to pick up on the other point that Becky was saying about in meetings together for elders and deacons and those, you know, talking about all these different policies and different things. One of the things that I found is that having policies, having the right code of conduct, having these things in place saves us a lot of time in the long run. And I think maybe we should open that up a little bit because we've got a building use policy, right? It sounds rather boring, but who can use the building and when? And so many challenges that there are in churches that I've met people where there isn't a fairness about an approach on how the building can be used. So somebody can use it for a birthday party while you can't use it for something else on a Sunday evening. So how do we want to use our building in a way that it actually serves everyone? There's this fairness, there's this consistency, and those things serve churches massively. And so how do you do a wedding policy? Again, another one that you think, do we need to write this up? Yeah, because actually that helps us to have a consistent approach that means that other members aren't going to fall out with other members, that as leaders, we're not spending an hour talking about each context and, you know, can we use the building for this? Is it okay for someone to have alcohol on site in a church building for a wedding? Well, let's make sure we've got that talked about beforehand. We've got a clear policy. And then it makes it easier for those who are implementing as well. And I think there's a big, you know, saving of time. And yeah, I'll just throw those things in the mix for that for us to chat about.
That is just so helpful because I think this is the problem, isn't it? When people present things at a church that we haven't thought about previously, we're basically making it up as we go along. And that can lead to all sorts of problems. And I think that's exactly right. And I appreciate you've just opened another can of worms there, Gavin. We're almost out of time for this pod. But let's just for this last couple of minutes, let's just touch on that. What kind of codes of conduct should churches be thinking about? So here at FIEC, we have the FIEC values. We pray them in at our staff meeting every week. We relate scripture to those values. We know why they're important for us as a staff team. We want to demonstrate those values as we engage with our churches. That is a kind of code of conduct that we have at FYEC. What kind of code of conduct would be available, say, on the church office? What should churches be thinking about, just briefly?
Yeah, I can answer that, Becky, or you can as well. I think we want, you know, particularly for our trustees, for our leaders, people in key positions, you know, what can we, how do we expect them to treat you and for the way that they should work with us? You know, those are key things. So people know if they're interacting with a leader and something's not quite right, they can go to code of conduct and say, actually, I experienced this from the leader. I'm not sure about this. And you might then want to go on and have a conversation, and there might be another procedure that will help you to go and say, maybe you should go and raise that with the other elders because they shouldn't be acting like that. And some of the things that I've seen in churches where that comes up is, you know, around social media or something like that, a youth worker who is, you know, contacting a young person, you know, to, over social media, which is a no-no in our policy. That's, you know, we don't do that. We outline that as part of our code of conduct. We don't do that. You're never alone with a child. You know, there's some of these key things that we see. And also we're not just having them on our website and for people to use, but actually we want to talk to young people about that and say, our youth workers have a code of conduct. They're going to work with you like this, and explain that to them. And maybe we have to use different language to reinforce what we're saying, but we want to make sure that they understand that if wherever that is crossed or missed, then they can flag it up. So we're, you know, the code of conduct, again, it's just stating, this is how we're going to work with you. This is what we want to do. And we, you know, we hold ourselves to this account, and we want you to hold us to that account as well.
I did a podcast with Paul and Sue Harrison about the template complaints policy that FIC has made available to churches. So we'll put that in the show notes, as well as Gavin and I's first podcast about sort of the gift of administration that was published at the beginning of 2024. And Becky, just as we bring this podcast into land, can I ask you, is there any such thing as a stupid question in terms of churches coming to you in this area?
Absolutely not. I think very often I find churches worry that the thing that's causing them an issue, or they're just not quite sure about. They're worried that it's a silly question. They're either worried that they should know the answer and that it's a problem that they don't, or they don't want to bother anyone. And I'd really just encourage you: no question's a silly question. We're not necessarily experts in this area. I suspect that people working in our churches come from all sorts of different backgrounds. This won't necessarily be an area in which they feel confident and comfortable, but it's an area that they find themselves working in. So absolutely, no question's a silly question. No question is too small to ask. We will always do our very best to answer your questions.
Yeah. Can I jump in there, Phil? Because I think, you know, one key thing in this is don't try and do this on your own, isn't it? And I think the fact that Becky is in the FIC, people should be using this. We don't want people to be doing policy on their own. It just doesn't help. It doesn't work as well. So do it as part of a team. If you've got gifting in your church, draw them in and use them. But if you have it and you're a smaller church, this, what a service that the FIC are putting on here. I've known Becky for years. She is outstanding in her work. She's the first person that I pick up the phone to and say, have you got a policy on, you know, food hygiene or something? What on earth are we doing? I've never written one. But Becky has got those and she provides those. And so churches, we use this resource. I think it's brilliant, Phil, what the FIC are doing. And let me encourage everyone to make use of it.
Gavin,
Becky, that's going to make your life really difficult now.
Yeah, you've been so helpful, both of you, in helping us to think this through. We will put in the show notes everything that you need to get hold of the essential policies, to go to the church office, to contact Becky. Please do use it. We're here to help, and we really want to help churches in this area of administration and policy. So, Becky, Gavin, praise the Lord for both of you. Thank you so much for all you're doing to serve and support churches. And this has been Independence, the FIEC podcast. If you've liked what you've heard, please rate it, leave a review so others can find it, and share it with those across your church family who could be helped in this area. And do contact us if you need help in this area. So, Gavin, Becky, thank you so much. My dear brother, my dear sister, go well today. It's been great to chat to you, and we'll speak again soon.